me. Hi, this is Rabbi Jim Egolf. What you just heard was the beginning of Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre is a piece of music, a confession that Jews make every year to God, basically asking forgiveness for wrongs in the past or wrongs in the future. It is an ancient song, over 1,500 years old. And when you sit in a service standing and listening to that piece, with the ark empty of Torahs because they're being held up as, if you will, divine witnesses to our attempt to be contrite in this year, it is an extremely powerful moment in the High Holiday Cycle. That High Holiday Cycle, though, and Yom Kippur, is meant to help us reconnect with who we are, who we should have been, and who we might yet be as we come to the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, is a day when we cast all the things aside that might inhibit us from becoming the most wonderful people that we would like to be, and allows us the chance to make peace with ourselves, others, and our Creator as we enter into this new year. I wish to share this sermon with you, which is really about getting rid of one of those things we probably all need to atone for, being connected to the point where we're too connected, and how we might actually need to stop and, to borrow a cliche, smell the roses. I thank you so much for joining me and for listening, and I hope that your fast was an easy one. Chatima Tova, may you have been sealed in the Book of Life. The following story comes from the American Rabbi. If you can start the day without caffeine or pep pills, if you can be cheerful, ignoring aches and pains, if you can resist complaining and boring people with your troubles, if you can eat the same food every day and be grateful for it, if you can understand when loved ones are too busy to give you time, if you can overlook when people take things out on you, when through no fault of your own, something goes wrong. If you can take criticism and blame without resentment, if you can face the world without lies and deceit, if you can conquer tension without medical help, if you can relax without liquor, if you can sleep without the aid of drugs, if you can do all these things, then you are probably the family dog. I'm not sure when getting to be the family pet was the goal of existence. It seems that we live as modern people. That the word modern, though, means being constantly busy. Busy can be good. There are several who will readily tell you that idle hands are the... Yeah, that's right, the devil's workshop. However, what happens when the devil, the evil, is in being too busy? Some of the passages from our old prayer book, The Gates of Prayer, always resonated in me. One of these was a passage that I would call The Painter. It reads, "An artist, in the course of painting, will pause, lay aside the brush, step back from the canvas, and consider what needs to be done. What direction is to be taken?" Borrowing from this metaphor, today we are working harder and harder to purchase new, finer, and more expensive brushes. We spend copious amounts of money on paint to ensure that we have the most fantastic color palette. Our canvases are bought and stretched to cover some of the strongest and lightest of woods, so that they'll be prepared for brush and paint. As we busy ourselves with this assemblage of materials, and we furiously start to move with anxiety and speed, because, well, somehow, we are sure we will run out of time, we invariably make mistakes, become anxious as we lose more time fixing the mistakes, and at the end of the day, we're not sure that the idea of what we set out to paint is the work of art we're staring at. Regardless of the quality of the materials, the skill of our brushstrokes, the truth of the matter is that if we don't stop and consider what we are doing, we will create more of a mess and more anxiety because we did not take the time to stop and consider what we wanted the canvas to reflect. Are we arriving at a point where we can no longer appreciate the forest for the trees? One of the greatest lessons that Judaism brings to the world is the idea that one can change and that life is filled with choices that can bring about the sacred elevation of an individual. This idea is reflected in our teachings for this sacred Yom Kippur, the charge to constantly strive towards choices that add to life. This seems simple enough, but then again, so do many paintings, which convey an almost effortless sense of life or idea or design. Yet for the artist to arrive at these designs means more than just applying paint to canvas. It is a matter of thought, understanding, vision, and asking what will the experience of the viewer be when they look at this work. The work that we are all tasked with is fashioning a life with a mind towards Torah. Yet the struggle for us is to do this in a world that is constantly trying to demand our attention for its agenda. Busyness, that's B-U-S-Y hyphen N-E-S-S, is starting to take over our lives and is beginning to drive people to feel increasingly anxious, time deprived, and too many believe that they fail if they are not constantly working at their success. Returning to our metaphor, yes, you might be applying paint to canvas, but did you really intend for the picture of your life to resemble a tornado? Unless you're in the wrecking business, the answer is probably no. But then, what is the picture of your life, the image you are trying to convey to others? And most importantly, to yourself. I do not want you to raise your hands. Let me repeat. I don't want you to raise your hands. But I want you to think. How many of you, on this cold, gray night, have your cell phone on as you sit in this sacred service? Now, clearly, if you're a doctor and you are on call where the situation could be life-threatening and it might be a real life and death situation, the mitzvah of pikuach nefesh, saving a life, applies to you. But for the rest of us, how many are on because of business? How many are on because we learned to treat every contact as a life and death situation, and so now we are addicted to the connection? Recently, it began to become apparent for several reasons that these electronic gadgets that were only the stuff of sci-fi 25 years ago are beginning to take on lives of their own, or should I say, are beginning to take over our own lives. It was recently reported on the Nightly Business Report that accounting giant PricewaterhouseCoopers is one firm trying to discourage a 24/7 workplace. When workers log on to the company's computer network over the weekend, they see a pop-up message asking them to consider sending emails the next business days. The interview continued, "What these new technologies are doing is, in a sense, taking us back to the future. We are now entering a whole new period in which it's going to be more and more difficult to figure out when we are at home, when we are in our workplace, and how we separate the uses of time." Sadly, the issue is only gaining importance, and unfortunately only comes into anybody's really clear vision when it gets into the legalities of a courtroom. The same segment of this show began to discuss the legal issues around those so-called crackberries. Glenn Smith, a labor and employment attorney for Littler Mendelson, is quoted, "I think it is the next generation of wage hour lawsuit that you're going to be seeing. And it's not just limited to Blackberries. It's, you know, what are people doing remotely? That might be after hours, you know. How are they spending their time? Are they actually engaging in gainful employment after hours and not recording it or being paid for it?" This problem, which this broadcast pointed out, is becoming a potential legal issue. But that's not really the focus of this. The greater spiritual and moral problem is that we really don't know where we are anymore. Are we at work? Are we home? Are we in this sanctuary talking to God? Are we? And I mean that in an existential sense. Are we? Can we just be? It is so hard to find any downtime when the level of anxiety is always up at the life and death level. How could the painter put down his brush for an instant? Could he dare? If he felt that he was painting for his life, if he truly believed that every stroke was a matter of saving his existence, he could not put down the brush, and thus a huge amount of paint would be applied to the canvas. But we, and he, would probably struggle to call it a work of art. If our lives are supposed to be works of art that others, and even we, are too busy to appreciate, then, you know what? If we can't create the art and we can't appreciate them, we're defeating ourselves. Our Torah reading tomorrow will implore us to choose life. We live in a culture that demands we choose busy. And if you happen to get some sense of life and meaning, then it's almost like you've gotten away with something. We have to become reacquainted with learning how to be, how to exist, how to have value and value others, even when we are not working all the time. While that may seem to be simple and easy, I can assure you, it is not. The bottom line is this. If you're sitting in this room and waiting for a phone call or an email to arrive, you will, at best, struggle to hear Kol Nidre. Yes, you may hear this extremely loud cello and the music sung, but your soul will struggle to hear what it means. Those notes have called Jews on this evening for centuries, and I implore you to feel the deep connection to previous generations. I want you to be among those who, when they hear this song, respond, even if they don't know why, because it's speaking to something in their lives that they need to reconnect with. It is time to reconnect and remove all the other songs, all the other organs, all the music boxes, no matter how small and thin they might be, that keep us from living life with ourselves and our souls in mind. Kol Nidre is a song trying to help you find room in your soul for this year. Your heart is meant to be moved to a different place. And when we live in a world where that is considered a luxury, it is time for the world to wait a moment so we can be true to ourselves. Rabbi Dov Peretz Elkins tells the following story. An Israeli driver took his car into the shop to be repaired. He said to the repairman, "My brakes don't work. Please fix the horn." Rabbi Elkins continues, "Perhaps there's a strong hidden message in that remark. Like our faulty automobiles, sometimes our lives are missing the brakes, the discipline, the self-restraint that we need. The shofar comes to sound an alarm and remind us that we need to take ourselves in for an annual checkup to overhaul our sense of values, to lubricate our sensitivity, to clean up our relationships and straighten out the steering wheel of our life's direction. Or perhaps, most of all, when the brakes are slipping, when our power of self-discipline is weakened, we must develop the moral courage to know when to say yes and when to say no. I want you to find some courage in this Yom Kippur. Consider this a practice run. I want you to discover the courage, at least for the length of the next 24 hours, to say no and choose to fully be in this room as we worship, pray, and experience the rest of Yom Kippur. I also want you to try again after you leave here, when you are breaking fast tomorrow, to be truly, completely with the people around you, and let the email and the office wait until you choose to turn them back on. I want you to find your value in this day, not in the eyes of the office or the business or anything else, other than in your eyes and in the eyes of those who love you and care about you. I want you to work more on your brakes during this year and less on the quality of your horn. You need to think more about what you're going to paint next, to do or not do next. I want you to take back that part of your life which belongs to the artist inside of you. I want you to be able to hear the music that brings tears to you and learn how to make your life beautiful because your decisions and your choices are reflections of the divine soul that resides within you. Tzom Kol, may you have an easy fast.